What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 413, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
You are feeling much more patriotic than I am, or at least your outfit shows that. I almost ran upstairs and grabbed a similar hat. But I just didn't want to be too much of a copycat.
This is patriotism right here. That's right. I don't know. If we say that word, we might get demonetized.
Oh, okay. Tomorrow's the 4th of July.
Yeah, so tomorrow's the 4th of July. That's
good old Independence Day.
I don't really... That's the thing. Is like, I feel like every year you would buy like a shirt for the 4th of July. Yep. Just like a big American shirt. And I really don't have anything like that anymore. But this Quicksilver hat is... American flag, so I decided to put it on.
I remember you could always go to like Old Navy to get those shirts, because they always had like 20 of them, or like Kohl's or something, you know, they'd have like just a ton of them. So
But tomorrow is 4th of July, so hopefully you're going to enjoy the day off, enjoy some fireworks, cookout. Typically that's what a lot of people do. So so I decided to be a little, you know, support, and I guess, like you said, be patriotic. So but we have a lot to talk about this week. Some really cool reviews. Ryan has a really interesting review. I have some, and some other pretty interesting things to talk about, obviously, in the tech world going on. We do have a full show notes page that is live right now, if you guys want to go ahead and check that out. That's going to have everything that we talk about in the podcast, with links to all the articles, all the reviews. So again, if you're following along, you know, during the podcast, you can click along with us. If you're listening or watching later, of course, you can reference this and get all the information if you want to learn more. So we have all that there for you guys. It's live on the website, like I said. So let's jump in. I wish I had it. You know what? Every time I get ready for the podcast,
all the time.
I know. I'm like, I have, you know, I wish I had it to talk to you guys about it. But I took a look at a Gen 5 NVMe SSD, and the thing that really sets this one apart from others is that almost all of the Gen 5 NVMe SSDs that we see are actively cooled, which means that they have fans, because the controllers get really hot, and especially if you're doing sustained writes, the ones that I have seen that aren't actively cooled, they will thermally throttle for the most part. Like, it just happens a lot of the time. So this one is actively cooled, but the difference between this one and other ones is that you can control the fans. So,
thank goodness.
Yes, because these fans.
When you said fans, multiple fans too.
Yeah. So the fans on this, you can kind of see here, they're really tiny, and you want to be able to control those, or set a fan curve, or, you know, do those things. So this allows you to do that, which I'm a huge fan of. So the drive is the PNY Accelerate CS3150, and it's your standard M.2 2280 drive. It does have a built-in heatsink with these two fans, as you can see, very tiny. But yeah, it's just a standard, available in 1 or 2 terabyte versions. And like I said, the thing that really sets this apart is that instead of a lot of these will just have a fan header that you connect, this actually has a USB 2.0 header that comes out of it. And PNY has actually put a microcontroller into the heatsink itself. So there's like a little chip in there that, one, will help allow you to control the fans. It will also monitor your temperatures and fan speeds. It will also control the RGB lighting, which I'll show you as well. So you get some RGB lighting on this that you can control. So everything that we kind of wanted on one of these small little drives, they've kind of done, which I'm a huge fan of there. So like I said, the drive's pretty, it's a black heatsink. And then, like I said, you'll see the RGB once I show it to you here. So do I not have a picture of the RGB? I thought I did. But the RGB is going to look like this. Like I said, it's
is that just one zone or two zones?
It's just one zone throughout the logo, but there's a ton of different settings that you can actually choose as well. So you can have different effects, you can do things like that. And like I said, it's all controllable. So if you go into their actual software here, the software is the same software that they actually use for their graphics cards. So it's not just like a piece of software that's thrown together. This is the software that they've been using for a long time. We see our drive here, and we can see our temperature and fan speed in real time with a real time graph. And then for your fan speed, you can set it to full speed, which I would not recommend. And then there's an auto setting, but then you can just move these little things around. Like you can move them to set your own custom fan curve. So if you don't want the fans to really spin up until the drive gets really, really hot, you can do that. So it's not super loud all of the time, because any company that tells you that their fans on their M.2 SSD are quiet are you, because they're just tiny. There's no way to make them quiet. It's not possible.
Yeah, unless they're off, they're not quiet.
Yeah. So you can, like I said, you can change the fan speed there. And then with the RGB lighting, you can see we have a whole bunch of different effects. You can change the speed. You can change like the direction the effect goes. You can also change the brightness. But the RGB lighting itself, like I said, is it looks nice. You know what I mean? The only thing is that, you know, when you... this is going to probably sit above your graphics card. So there's not necessarily a ton of space there. So it might be a little bit harder to see. I know as this next generation of motherboards come out, we will have more Gen 5 slots. So this will be placed in different areas. But for most people, Z790 or the X670E, your Gen 5 slot is going to be the top slot on your motherboard. So... most people, you should be able to see it a little bit, but if you have a graphics card right above that slot, and one thing I did want to mention too, is the placement of this cable that comes out. As you can see, the cable comes out and it literally goes right over your top PCI Express slot. You kind of have to bend it. So in this, you can see how I've kind of bent it here. I really wish they would have brought it out over here, or even the top, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, you kind of just have to bend it out of the way. So not the biggest fan of that placement, because again, in 90% of motherboards, the Gen 5 slot is going to be the top slot. So that's just a little miscue on their part, I would say. As far as speed goes, this is rated as 12.5 gigabytes a second read or 11.5. Hold on. I need to get my specs in line here. 11.5 gigabytes a second read and 8.5 gigabytes a second write. The 2 terabyte is slightly faster. So if you're going to go for this, I would say get the 2 terabyte. And it's Phison E26 base. That is like the first Gen 5 controller from Phison. And it does a really good job. And the fans do keep it cool. So you don't have to worry about any thermal throttling, because there's a lot of E26 base drives that will thermally throttle. They just will. So with this, you're not going to get that at all. Now, there are faster drives out there for sure. As we start to see the 14 and 15 gigabyte a second drives, but I think this one's really, really well done as far as the fan control, the RGB lighting, everything is very well done on this, where a lot of the newer drives that are coming out, they're just like the first one and there's thermal throttling issues. There's no fan control. This has everything. And I actually really do like that, because as fast as your drive is, you know, you're not going to necessarily notice the difference between 11.5 gigabytes a second and 14 gigabytes a second. Like
unless you're moving like huge, huge files.
Yeah. Right?
Like you might save some time.
And I'd rather have a drive that actually the fans turn off.
Yeah,
you don't have to listen to it. And it's not loud all the time, or I can set my custom fan curve and to actually have RGB lighting that I can control. So I really do like those features of this drive, and I would assume they're going to come out with a newer version here, towards the end of the year or into next year, that has even a faster, more optimized Gen 5 drive. So and you can see it again. This is, you know, the RGB lighting there.
Looks good in that blue.
Yeah. Like I said, that's what's nice about it is, you know, I remember I reviewed I think it was the first M.2 SSD that had RGB lighting. You couldn't control it. It just did its thing.
It's just, yeah.
So this is nice that you can actually go ahead and control it. The 1 terabyte is $184.99. And like I said, I gave it a 9 out of 10. The only cons here is that one, the 2 terabyte version is faster. So get the 2 terabyte if you can. And like I said, that cable coming off at the bottom, you just have to bend it. And I just not the biggest fan of it. Just, I wish the cable came off another way. That's the only thing. But yeah, I really like this drive. So definitely go ahead and check that review out for sure. I'll move on to Ryan if you want to bring up your review.
Yep.
Right. A really interesting AIO. And I think we're going to see a lot of companies do this. I don't know if this is patented, like the actual, I can't imagine it is.
I kind of doubt it.
But I think we're going to see a lot of companies do this. We saw, I did see some other companies showing this type of design at Computex. So I think while this is the first one that we reviewed, I think we're going to see a lot like this. So go ahead, Ryan, and tell us the...
Yeah, so I took a look at the Lianli HydroShift LCD 360S. So this is the new HydroShift series from Lianli, and they have a couple different versions. They have a 360S, like we reviewed here, and then they have two others that have just a little different fans and a slightly different thickness radiator on them. You know, you can get the really nice Infinity fans in this kit as well, but we just got the kit with just standard fans, nor RGB lighting on the fans or anything like that. So you've got some options here, but the improvements in, or I guess the real shift in the change is present on all of these. So you've got some options here for that. But kind of like the name implies, it is a 360 millimeter all-in-one liquid cooler. And as expected, it comes with all the, you know, mounting hardware, things you need to install it on any current AMD or Intel socket, outside of like, you know, extreme cases there. And then you get this little bracket cover here. I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, but it's just kind of one of those accessories you don't see in other all-in-one coolers, and it'll make more sense once we get looking at it a little closer. But we've got the AIO here, and I guess really we'll just start off with the most the biggest change here with this cooler, and that is that Lianli has routed the tubes that come out of the radiator instead of coming straight off of the end cap of a radiator like we see on 99% of all-in-ones. They have used some 90 degree swiveling connections to route the tubes around the fans and along the side of the body of the radiator and fans. And what that's designed to do is move those cooling tubes that are usually hanging down from the radiator or coming off the top if you've got it front mounted and, you know, taking up space in your case. And it's designed to route those kind of between the radiator and your motherboard to hide that tubing. They've kind of called it a tubeless aesthetic. And in theory,
I had a question.
A good idea. Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Does the AIO ship like that with the fans and pre-installed?
It does. Yes. Nice. And I mentioned that in the review. Yeah. That, and a lot of companies are doing that now.
Yeah.
It's not every one of them that I've gotten recently, but a lot of them are coming pre mounted, which is really nice. It's kind of a pain to take every fan out of this little plastic bag, undo the wire ties on it, right? Like cable them together. These are all pre-installed on the radiator and they're daisy chained together. They're not like magnetic connection like we've seen on some other fans, like from Height and others, but they are already daisy chained together, which is another, you know, just nice feature for installing. So I got the white version to review. It does come in black as well, but a pretty standard 27 millimeter thick radiator. That's pretty much the average size you're going to get on most all-in-one liquid coolers. Really nice fit and finish on this. Nothing to complain about there. It does have a really cool aluminum like label, or what do you
like
call
a front
that?
Front face,
yeah,
front
like facing, like a,
yeah.
Yeah, just a band of
brushed aluminum. It honestly reminds me of the old Lianli cases that were aluminum, that had the brushed aluminum. Yeah, that's definitely what it reminds me of.
Yeah, and so it's only on one side, but you can take it off. There's two screws there, so if you end up mounting this radiator,
so it's actually a plate. Okay.
It is a plate. Yeah, plate. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. So yeah, it can come off. You take these two screws off, and then there's screw holes on the other side, so you can mount it that way. So they didn't put it on both sides, kind of like a cost savings thing, but you're only going to see one side of the radiator anyway, so I think that's perfectly fine.
Okay, and that's how the tubing goes. Okay.
And so this is how the tubing comes out, right? Typically, we'd have these coming out just in a straight connector, but they've used really like fittings that you would find on the side of a pump housing. These do rotate a bit, but really, when they're in place, you're not going to be rotating them any other orientation. This is just the way they've designed it. Probably lets them utilize components that they already have in stock and didn't have to redesign, you know, like specific angled connectors for this feature. But what it does is it routes those liquid tubes around your fans and along the backside. And there's little brackets that hold that into place, which can also come off as well. So you can mount this, that cover that I talked about earlier that was in the packaging. You can have the tubes come off the left or the right. So you can shift those around depending on which side and how you install this in your case. And these are nice metal brackets that mount, and they kind of clip onto this covering that covers the tubing here. So everything's nice and like solid there, and those tubes are held together and held in place really nicely, and just routed around. Really nice tubes on these as well. They've utilized a feature that you typically see in data centers with regards to that tubing. It's like ribbed and will support a lot more tighter bends without compressing the inner dimensions of the tube, right? So you're not going to get restrictions in liquid flow and things
like that. I think that's a good thing because people are going to be moving this around a little bit different than your typical.
Yeah, and you'll see when I in my installation that was definitely necessary for my build. Like I said, just some pretty standard 120 millimeter fans pre-attached here, and they are pre-daisy chained as well. It's kind of a, you know.
It's nice that they have that cover though.
Yeah, and that clips on and off, which is really nice. It covers up all of that cabling. I thought that was really, really cool that they did that as well. Pretty basic water block. And there's some lines on it that are reminiscent of kind of that same brushed look, but it almost looks like, especially in this image, it almost looks like it's a 3D printed part, like
with
build lines. It's not. It's just kind of a textured finish there on this, but very basic, right? You've just got a couple lines here and there, a nice satin aluminum frame around the screen though. Speaking of screens, yes, there is a LCD screen on this with a 480 by 480 resolution. We'll get to that in a minute. There is a bit of cabling that comes out of the side of the pump housing. That's obviously to control that screen, as well as the pump inside, power it, things like that. And you've got, again, swiveling fittings on the pump housing to allow for a little adjustment on your installation. A nice satin base plate on the bottom. No thermal paste comes pre-applied. And just like the previous Lianli cooler we looked at and some others, they have gone with the stencil method where you place the sticker onto the base and then you... I showed that on installation. But essentially you apply your thermal paste on here, spread it out, and then it leaves you with a nice pattern for making sure that you get thermal paste in all the right spots on this cooler. So kind of a neat thing there. Yeah, so this is a 2.88 inch IPS panel, 480 by 480 resolution, which is fully controllable by Lianli's Connect 3 software, or L Connect 3 software. So you can do all sorts of things with this screen. I'll show you that here in a minute, but really a pretty basic looking all-in-one cooler when it comes down to it. Installation's really easy. Like I mentioned earlier, all those fans are pre-connected. For my AMD build, you do have to replace the standard plastic mounting clips with this more universal mounting solution here. These brackets are used for both the Intel and AMD build, so this kind of cuts down on the additional parts that ship with this, but it was super easy to install. No issues there. Here's an image of me kind of applying that thermal paste to the stencil, spreading it out with the little spreader tool, and then you take it off and you kind of end up with that pre-applied look there. I don't know if I'm a fan of it yet or not. I've had this on a couple coolers.
Yeah,
it's okay. Like, it makes you consider though how thick you leave that spread, because you could spread it across all those spots and make it really thin, or you could leave it really thick and you'd still end up with the same
pattern. Thing I do like it. I do like that better than pre-applied, because you can just like mess up and then you have thermal paste on the side of your motherboard or something.
And then it just, you know, pops on with the mounting brackets that are included on this cooler. And it's the same, like I said, same mounting bracket for Intel and AMD, which is really nice for that. Now, here's where I had a bit of an issue, and that was when I was placing the radiator onto the top of my case. Usually in my installs, I place the radiator at the top of the case first, then mount the CPU block. I just find that that's easier to do in most instances. This one, that was not going to work out at all because of the installation. Now, Lian Li says that you should have a case that supports like a 280 millimeter radiator up top, which mine does. Mine supports up to a 420 in the top of the case. So plenty of width there. But, you know, whether they were just really designed this for their O11 dynamic or something similar, in my case, I did not have a lot of room between the motherboard and the radiator in order for these tubes to route with enough room without having to bend them. And you'll notice that I installed this with the tubes coming out of the top. That's how their product imagery shows that you install this. I did see someone else in another review, they mounted theirs at the bottom. But I, you know, I did it exactly how Lian Li showed.
But you would think, you would think at the bottom or at the
you're gonna end up with tubes, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. So you would think that you would mount the way that you did with
exactly
the tubes at the top, because you want the whole idea of this product beyond cooling your CPU is to hide the tube.
Exactly. And you know, as you can see here, I kind of pointed the tubing, the fittings outwards. That's where how I found the best like fitment. I tried, you know, shifting them both to one side or the other. This just happened to be the best orientation for those tubes there. So thankfully, like I mentioned, they used the improved server style tubes there that can take those additional bends. And you can kind of see a little bit of a wrinkle in the tubing. That's actually just the loom on the outside that's got that bend there. I did not experience any flow issues or anything like that with this cooler. But yeah, just kind of a, I think there's some tweaks that could be made to this and still have it be very successful.
You can't always, you know, certain cases are different sizes and things like that. And on top of that, certain motherboards, VRM cooling is going to be different sizes, and it's going to affect that. And you can't necessarily test every piece of hardware that's out there.
Right. And I think, you know, this case with a little more height above the motherboard wouldn't have been a problem, right? Some cases just give a little extra room at the top compared to this fractal design case that I use in my reviews. But anyhow, awesome performance from this. Idle temperatures were very competitive with the rest of the field, kind of towards the middle there on idle temps, but nothing to scoff at, right? The delta between this and the top performing idle is 4 degrees Celsius. So nothing major there. And then as far as load performance goes, a 3 degree difference between it and the best performing one that I've looked at. So right at 37 degrees Celsius under load. So really nice performance there. Super happy with this. I was really happy with the previous Lian Li cooler, and this one was just the same experience as far as performance goes. Now, they do have their L-Connect 3 software that you use to control this system. And I really like this software. It's like a modern-looking application.
It is really good,
It's really nice. Like, I'm always impressed when I use it in reviews. So you've got this, like, system info page. You can control your pump and fan profiles, just kind of like Bob was showing on that NVMe drive a minute ago, right? You can adjust, like, different fan profiles, whether you want it to be quiet or full or high, things like that, or custom fan profiles as well. And then, of course, we have the controls for the screen itself. There are a ton of built-in options. I was really surprised that there were so many animations and backgrounds and just like pre-built visuals that you could apply here. I'll show a couple of them in a second. But then you could also do things like setting like a meteor shower or like the rain looks really cool. So it would show this normal image here. And you can see I think I had the rain turned on, maybe not, maybe it hadn't updated, but it would show like little raindrops on the screen in front of your image. So it didn't like just change it to a rain picture. It affected the image behind which was pretty cool. So all sorts of animations. You can obviously put your own on there, customize text. you know, show CPU temperatures and speeds, GPU temperatures and speeds, all of those kinds of things. Really cool. And impressed with this software every time I use it, like I said. And just a quick couple images here, right? You've got just some cool built-in pictures here. Just really creative things that are similar, yeah, but different from...
That one's really cool.
Yeah, I love this one with the, like... Nixon tubes or Nixie tube glowing stuff. Yeah. I really like the look of that. So yeah, I gave this an 8 out of 10. You know, great performance, good price. I think right now it is priced at $174.54, which is really nice, I think, for a 360 millimeter radiator with a nice screen, great performance, pre-wired fans. So yeah, my pros, right? The competitively priced LCD display. You've got the L-Connect 3 software support, pre-installed fans. The tubeless aesthetic, unfortunately, was a little wonky in my installation. So I kind of dinged this on that. There was no installation guide included in my packaging. There was also not a QR code on the box or anywhere in the packaging. So thankfully, I've installed enough AIOs, right? And the one thing that's a little different with this one is those pre-wired fans, you actually connect the lead that comes off of those fans to a cable that comes out of the pump housing for control. That way you can control them in the L-Connect software. They don't connect back to your motherboard, and then you've got two different spots there. So that's a little different, but it was pretty logical doing that. And I noticed, again, I said I looked at another reviewer's review of this one when this launched last week, and they had the same thing. There was no installation guide. So whether they sent it without it to reviewers or maybe they just kind of...
That sounds like...
Who knows?
Yeah, I've had products like that where it's like it just doesn't come, or they don't even, like, you know, a lot of times it's a QR code and like they didn't put
the page live or something. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, the short tubing length could introduce some tight bends. But I think this has a lot of potential for like a new wave of features for these, right? We got RGB fans on AIOs. Then we got some screens. Now we're getting kind of stealth tubing, right? This could go perfectly with all of these stealth builds that we're looking at as far as motherboards and case layouts where we're trying to hide as much of the component as possible. Pretty soon we're going to see something like we have on the custom water blocks shooting through the backside of the motherboard, right? You're going to end up with an AIO like that or something. So really cool design. I think there's a little bit of work that needs to happen on this. Other than that, really great product.
Nice. Good to see it. Yeah, I was really impressed with all the options that you get for the screen, because that's like, some of them you just get like maybe one or two pre-made sort of screens or effects, and then you kind of have to design your own. And like a lot of people just want to be able to choose, you know, you want like, it's just like RGB lighting on the keyboard. It's like if you have like three effects, that's not enough. You need a lot more.
Yeah.
So that's really good to see there. Real quick, we do have Old Man in the chat. Forgot to shout him out when I did see it because I'm not good at looking at the chat. So Old Man is here. Good to see you here. Our last review of the week, I took a look at a CPU cooler as well, but mine is an air-cooled CPU cooler. So it is the Noctua NHL12SX77, which is a weird name for a Noctua cooler. But this is basically an upgraded version of Noctua's original NHL12S. They've added two more heat pipes and they've increased the height to 77 millimeters. But this is really designed for super small form factor builds and mid-range CPUs. So this isn't, I don't even think it's even rated to go on something like a 14900K or a 7950X or anything like that. This is for a mid-range build in a very small form factor system. And the one thing that's really interesting about this cooler compared to others is that you actually mount the fan on the bottom. Again, that's because in small form factor builds, you're very limited on space, extremely limited on space. And with their upgrade to this cooler, this actually gives you 100% RAM clearance as well. RAM fits right under there, as you'll see when I get into installation and things like that. But yeah, very, very interesting. Now, one thing that is pretty cool about this too is if you did have a system where the RAM wasn't being interfered with. You can actually install a thicker fan on here, up to 25 millimeters. I believe this is a 15 millimeter fan. So you could actually install a thicker fan if you wanted to. You can also move this fan to the top of the cooler if you wanted to as well. The top of the cooler is your heat sink here. You can see one, two, three, four. That's what I thought. Six heat pipes going all the way through, as well as these holes. And these holes are for your mounting, which I'll get into here. But yeah, that is the top of the heat sink here. You can see how all the heat pipes go through. Noctua fan in the Noctua color, which again, some people love, some people hate, but you have that there. Our six heat pipes here again. And then the base of the cooler, which again has a very nice finish on it. Nickel plated copper on everything, aluminum heat sink. And one thing that's really nice about this, especially when it comes to small form factor builds, the biggest problem with small form factor builds is you don't have a lot of space, especially really, really tiny cases. You don't have a ton of space to move around. And I was kind of worried. I wasn't worried for me, but for other people, that you would have to remove this fan to do your installation. But because of the way that it's designed, you actually put your screwdriver down through the hole in the heatsink and through the fan to mount this. So it's actually really easy. This uses Noctua Secure Firm 2 mounting system, which is one of the best and one of the easiest, really easy instructions to follow. You essentially, you put your back plate together depending on what socket you have. You put that through the back of your motherboard. You attach spacers, which I have right here. And again, depending on your socket, they have different spacers. You put the mounting brackets on there. And then again, you mount this onto your CPU. And you can see that it sits right above our memory. So it does cover your memory slots. This is really designed for mini ITX. On our system, it does cover almost, I would say, three slots, but on most mini ITX, you would just have two slots here, so they would be completely covered. So it is a downside if you did have RGB memory. You know, I mean, even in this shot, I mean, it's, you can't see our memory in that shot there, but like I said, it does. And as you can see, it sits right over our memory there. And like I said, this isn't necessarily designed for high-end CPUs. So just keep that in mind when you look at our results here. You can see that, like, the one stick here you can see, and then the other ones under it. So again, just something to keep in mind. Now, when it comes to performance in our test group, and keep in mind that our test group is typically super high end coolers. Noctua and HD15s in here. You know, the Cooler Master Air MA824 Stealth, which is one of the best. Deep Cool Assassin, you know, fours in here. So our results aren't necessarily great as far as temperature goes. I think as more load was put on the CPU, it actually ended up doing better. You know, as far as performance goes, like in our highest load test, it actually beat out some other coolers that are a lot bigger. Like the Dark Rock, Be Quiet Dark Rock TF2, the Deep Cool AK400 Digital, the Deep Cool AK400, that Amazon Basic CPU cooler that we reviewed. So it does beat out some more traditional coolers because, again, this is a top-down cooler. One thing I didn't mention is that the fan is actually pushing air up. It's not pushing air down. It's pushing air up to ventilate that heat sink. So again, very much designed for a small form factor build, I would say. It's not necessarily that loud either. And I think it's going to do a good job. If you have a performance to mid-range CPU, whether that's Core i3 to Core i5, maybe even a Core i7, you'd be okay with this. And then, you know, the Ryzen side, same thing. I would not run anything above, even in Core i7, but anything above a 7 series, you know, I wouldn't run on this cooler. It's not designed for that. But if you are looking for an air cooler that's going to fit in a very, very small form factor case, this is going to be it. And one thing I really like about Noctua is that if you go on their website, you go to the product page, you can actually search for the case and it will let you know if it's supported. So a lot of companies just be like, oh yeah, our max height is set, like in this cooler, it's 77 millimeters, so it should fit in your case. But then there's like, you get the case and then it something doesn't fit or something doesn't line up. Yeah. They actually have tested so many cases and you can look by manufacturer to see if this will fit. So this is going to fit in something like a Fractal Design Terra, which is incredibly small, and a lot of other really small, really niche cases that they've tested as well. Like I said, you can just go on their website and see it all. But the only issue I have with this is its price. It's $74.90, which
seems to be up there. Yeah,
it is quite expensive. But again, I guess if you're looking at low profile in really good performance, low profile, there's not a ton of options. I was looking at some other ones, like there's a couple Thermalright ones, and I can't tell you what they do performance wise, but they are much cheaper in like the $30 to $40 range. So $75 for this does seem a little bit high to me. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. I think if it was around the $50 range, 50 to 60, I'd be okay with it. But 75 just seems a bit high for this type of air cooler. But everything else is great. Again, it's going to fit in the smallest cases out there. You don't have to remove the fan when it comes to installation, because again, even if you can, in a lot of small cases, even if you can place the cooler down on the CPU, you'd still have to try to get that fan under the cooler and do the fan clips. So it's nice that it's just ready to go out of the box. And it has 100% RAM clearance as well, so you don't have to worry about that either. It's just, again, the price as a con, and then it does cover your memory. So if you wanted to do RGB memory and your smaller form factor build, it's going to be covered by the cooler. So keep that in mind, but I do think that it's a good cooler for a mid-range build in an extremely small case. And there's not many coolers that have good performance that you can fit in a really tiny case, like the Fractal Design Terra. So
this reminds me, I have a Silverstone NT06 Pro that looks identical to this that I had bought years back for a smaller form factor build. And yeah, I loved it. But yeah, it's not designed for like super high performance, right? It's designed
to fit in
a smaller build.
You're not going to put this on a 14900K or anything like that. You would thermally.
I mean, you could, but you're going to fail.
Yeah. You're going to thermally throttle. So you'll be playing your game or something and it's going to start. Yeah. Not doing so well. So, that is our reviews for this week. So definitely go ahead and check those out. Moving on to Case Mod Friday. That's where we of course feature a builder mod that's been done in the community. And this build is done inside the same case that Ryan has. And
what mine looks like.
I'm just wondering why Ryan's build doesn't look like this. So this is called Carbon Con, and it's by Fenn Systems. And they've wrapped the case in carbon. So it's kind of hard to see, but there's like carbon on the accents here on the sides. And they also used glass tubing instead of PET. So they really... everything just kind of it shines through in the tubing, and they like the red fan blades. This thing is, there's the carbon on the front too.
Yeah, you can see it there, yep.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
yeah, it makes me jealous. I'm like, oh, so that's what this could look like.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like sitting on the desk here. I mean, it does look nice.
It is very nice. I think what helps their build a lot is, well, other than it being really badass, is they've got a plate that they put behind. You can see it in the previous image. Yeah, so like right above their power cables, the 24-pin, there's like a black...
It's black right here.
And below, like right next to that reservoir, there's that hole there. On mine, like you can see right through because it's
glass. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Right? Yeah, yeah.
So they've kind of closed that up, and I think it looks cleaner.
It looks a lot cleaner, yeah.
Like this. And on the backside of theirs, they did a custom, like, red piece that looked really nice as well.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, that looks really cool. So,
yeah,
they put a custom piece there. That'd be awesome if that Carbon Con glowed, like a white.
It might. Nice. I'm not sure. These are the only pictures that I was able to get of this build.
So yeah, it, definitely a really nice build.
That's a big build. Sure. That has to be.
It's huge. Mine's heavy. That's got to be heavier with all that extra plexi in there.
Yeah.
And I it's like really that cool. little.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, just yep, exactly. Love that.
Yeah, yeah. It keeps the continuity of the lines here, and then it just so you can get up to the top radiator there, and then it does have the I call this a mid plate. Is that what we call this? I guess right here. That it's a reservoir as well.
Sure.
Yeah, mid plate. But yeah, and the fans are like that, just blood red. Really cool. So yeah, so shout out to Fenn Systems for this one. I really like it. Man, it's just so clean. Sometimes you just wish you had
the white is like a bright white also in the lighting that they had. It's not like it doesn't have that blue tint that you sometimes get on cheaper LEDs, right? Obviously they've got really good lighting and good photography with this as well.
Yeah.
But I think the LEDs, it's just pure white. Looks amazing.
Yeah, this is just looks awesome. So yeah, definitely like check that out as well. As I always say, we do have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds if you just want to get some inspiration or you want to see what's possible with PC parts. Definitely check out our Case Mod Friday section on the website. We'll move on to news, and we have some pretty interesting stories, and this first one has a lot to do with AI and has a lot to do with clusters of GPUs. But I wanted to talk to you about it, Ryan, about how this could possibly eventually maybe move its way down to the consumer front, and maybe we would see stuff like this on the consumer front. So this company called Panisia, they have created this CXL technology that basically allows for GPUs to leverage PCI Express connected memory and SSDs to increase the VRAM capacity. So that's kind of what it would look like, where you would have this is your GPU right here, and you'd have this CXL root complex, and then you would have this other card that's connected via PCI Express that would have like DRAM or SSD slots on it with that CXL controller to add more VRAM. And while this application isn't consumer facing, this would be, again, high-end AI data center workstation stuff. Could we see this CXL technology be built into your motherboard and future consumer-facing graphics card, where it's like, okay, you have a Gen 5 NVMe SSD, you know, could you partition 8 gigs to add to your VRAM or something like that? Or like your memory, you have, you know, say like in 5 years, you have 128 gigabytes of memory. Could we, cause this is used, like that's used now in other applications where SSDs will take part from your VRAM and stuff like this. Do you think this type of technology could be used in the future? So somebody's like playing a game and they're not getting the FPS they want. They just be like, oh, enable CXL. And now I have extra VRAM for my game.
Yeah, I think obviously this implementation, like you said, is for like server, you know, perform or professional level pieces, because nobody's going to want to have to add in another board, you know, to connect here. So I think where this could work is you either have a motherboard that supports it, right? And so you are using, like you said, kind of partition or dedicate like two channels of memory or one channel of memory to your GPU to have that available for that use, or they figure out a way to like add in memory sticks to your GPU to just increase that amount of memory available. That wouldn't necessarily be like as on the fly as the motherboard solution would be. And then like the SSD piece, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, I don't feel like that's fast enough.
Yeah, I don't think
it's not as fast as memory, right? But if you could do something where you load games onto that, and now that game can be even closer, and you know, to your GPU, or if you load like certain portions of the game that only really need to run through the GPU and the CPU doesn't care about it, right? I don't know if that's possible or whatever, but yeah, I think this definitely has some potential for consumer-based products.
Yeah, I think the implementation that you were saying is like we would see this a CXL controller built into it. If this technology would ever be adopted, like your high-end boards would get the CXL controller because it's going to cost more money.
Sure.
And then the GPUs, maybe the top end, like the 90 series from NVIDIA. Oh, this has the CXL on it, so you know you can add more memory. And we've had this app that's built in it's built into NVIDIA. The NVIDIA overlay, you just hit F5 or to just add it, and you can have pre-selected in the software. That's how I see it working. But sure. I think it's pretty interesting to see if that would it become a thing. And they do say that they show performance, up to 3.23 times faster, and things like that. So like I said, it's interesting. We'll see if it ever comes to the consumer, but like that this is possible. We could see, things happening in the future.
It's gotta be simple though for the consumer, right? Like, it has to be either just built into the card or your motherboard and easy to use.
Yeah, for it to be a thing.
Adopted, yeah.
Moving on, Intel Arc Battlemage. So we haven't talked about this all that much. A lot of people are thinking that, Battlemage will be this is the next generation of Intel's graphics cards. And a lot of people have been thinking that it's going to kind of be the same kind of mid-range, but this new BMG G31 GPU leaked that's going to have 32 XE2 cores, and it leaked on Intel's InDesign Tools portal.
Oops.
They gave us some information on it. Larger footprint than the previous, and again, it could mean that we could see our higher end Intel graphics. So the Arc A770 was sort of entry level, maybe I wouldn't even necessarily call it mid range. So we could see higher performance segment from Intel. I couldn't imagine yet that they would go after the 90 series from NVIDIA, but getting something that's in the 70 or 80, RTX 4080, 4080 Super category, not necessarily jump into the 4090, because even AMD doesn't necessarily compete with a 4090. From the beginning of Intel Arc, more competition is good. And I think I always thought that Intel would roll out slow, and I always thought that they would roll out where they would do more volume, not super high end. So we'll see what happens for this next generation. We talked about this a few months ago, how people said that Arc was dead after the first generation, but it looks like they're going to continue with it on the discrete desktop side. Obviously it's going to be in their processors as well. Sure. The architecture, but on the discrete side, a lot of people said that it might be going away, and it doesn't seem like it is. So
no, I'm glad we're seeing more, seeing this leak and seeing progress on another generation of these cards. Cause like we always say, more options is better for the consumer. Especially if they're good options, right?
Yeah. And
if they can, like you said, meet that 4070 series or somewhere around there, I think they'll be in really nice shape for the second generation.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So good to see that. The Ryzen 7 9700X. It was kind of interesting when they announced it. And the big thing was that AMD had said that the Ryzen 7 9700X would not be more powerful than the Ryzen 7 7800X3D, which...
In gaming.
But it looks like they might actually increase the power to it. So, because it was set to be a 65 watt chip, and they may increase it to 120 watts to give it more power so it beats it, so they don't look necessarily that bad.
That's a big bump in power.
Yeah, almost double. Or it is like, double. Or no, it's not double. Almost double. So yeah, I just, it feels weird.
I don't think it was really that bad of a take. Like, I was fine seeing the 9700X not being as fast as the 7800X 3D, right? Like, the 3D version is supposed to be like that flagship for gaming.
Specifically in gaming.
Right. Now, if it doesn't beat the 7800X in other tasks, then maybe you've got this a problem.
Is just a, so like for us, like we're enthusiasts, so we know, right? But if the normal consumer is like, wait a minute, I'm looking at these benchmarks on the, this YouTube video, and why is the old one better than the new one? Maybe I should just get the old one, but not even the X3D, because the old generation's better. Why do I need to buy the new generation?
Right.
Like, that could be a marketing thing for like a non-educated PC builder. I could see that could be the reason for them kind of switching it, you know. But we'll see if they do. That they're talking about, you know, increasing the TDP of it. So almost double. So we'll see if that actually happens. Now this, Ryan, is a X3D part in a laptop. And this is a laptop because Ryan loves big, thick 10-pound laptops. He showed up at CES 1 year with this big old thick laptop, and in between writing articles, he was playing Fortnite on it. So this is a really badass laptop. So this is the MSI Titan 18. So 18-inch laptop features a Ryzen 9 7945H X3D. I'm just pumped for this. And not a lot of people are using the mobile X3D parts, but they are available. And again, if you're designing a gaming laptop, you'd want a part that's specifically designed for gaming. So this is only currently available in China. But that chip, if you're not familiar, the Ryzen 9 7945H X3D, 16 core, 32 thread, boosts up to 5.4 gigahertz. But this laptop, it just looks amazing.
That's pretty sweet.
And it's not like compared to Ryan's birthday.
It looks like it's probably about the same thickness.
Yeah, it is. It's decently thick. And again, you can't necessarily, like, this is 18 inches, so that's big.
Yeah.
You know, but it's going to USB 3.2 Gen 2 Type-C ports. No Thunderbolt 4 because it's AMD platform. Right around $3,000. Not sure. Oh, and it has RTX 4090 mobile in it. So this would be like a total mobile workstation ready to go laptop.
Huh. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, like $3,000 isn't horrible.
Not for what you're getting here, yeah.
For like a desktop replacement, I don't see it being that bad. So yeah, pretty cool. But man, you know, I always thought like I used to have a 17-inch laptop, and that thing was just like you really couldn't take it with you places, and you had to get like a bat, like if you wanted to actually take it somewhere, you had to get a backpack that actually supported a 17-inch laptop, and those were like few and far between. And now we have 18-inch laptops that, again, it's just like this big thing you're carrying with you. But again, if you're doing desktop replacement, I do think getting a RTX 4090 based laptop would be a good idea for sure. Noctua, we've been waiting. It's been like 12 years or 10 years. We always say, and we talked about this last week about CPU coolers and high-end CPU coolers. And since the day it came out, the Noctua NHD15 was the go-to air cooler for high performance. And it has had some competition, and we talked about it last week. But we have always been saying, when's the next one coming out? I mean, like I said, that cooler has been out for over 10
forever.
Years. They announced it. The Noctua NHD15 G2 has been announced, and it's $150.
Hey.
So it's about $25 or $30 cheaper than your 360 millimeter AIO that you just reviewed. And it's big, obviously, just like the original. It has the new NF A15 fans. They're the AF. They're the A14. So they're 140 millimeter fans. They're the NF A14 X25 RG2 round frame fans. So you can see they're round here. Obviously, just like Noctua colors. You get that Noctua color. How many heat pipes we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 heat pipes. Jeez. Dual tower, dual fan. It has to be the best. Like, they're sending us one, so we'll have the review coming up. But this has to be the top. It has to beat everything that's out there.
Yeah. So what's the reason? Okay, why don't they bring the heat, the fins down a little bit, right? Those fans hang a good
memory inch. Clearance.
But you got a fan there.
I think you can move the fan up. So
you'd have to move the fan up if memory clearance is the reasoning.
Hold on.
Yeah, they show it moved up there on the because the fan frame. Yeah,
like just because the original two that this front tower will go over some memory slots.
Yep. So if your fan frame is taller than those heat pipes, why not just add a couple more fins there and get a little more surface area?
Well, because I assume that these are at their max height or
could be. I mean, your fan frame's above the fins. I don't know. I'm just.
Let's see here. And there's a bunch of different versions too. Let's just see. If we go. Okay. Well, the product page is. Oh, there it
goes. Still loading.
Okay. So, specs. They don't have, they used to put the dimensions like in the picture. So
in the picture,
So the height with the fan, 168 millimeters. So that's pretty high already.
Yep.
So you need a case that has that much. Yeah. And again, a lot of cases will only do 160. You know, a lot of mid towers are only going to do 160. This is a bit like just like the original.
That's huge. Yeah.
It's massive. The new fans, and they've been working on these fans for a very long time as well. So it will be and you can see, especially in these ones, but like, you know, the difference in the fans and
those blades look very aggressive.
Yeah. How different these fans will be. And all of that. So I'm interested to test it. Like, how do you feel about 100, you know, they did increase the price. Too, because like I think the original NHD 15 was like 100 or 89, and it's I think it's like 130 now on Amazon or something like that. So, you know, we have seen a decent increase in high end air coolers being expensive. You know, a lot of like the Cooler Master, I think, is 100 or 120. I think so. Yeah. How do you feel about 150? Are they making a statement?
I mean, that seems high, but I think, yeah, I think part of it's a statement to say, okay, here's our newest one, and we're not going to price it at or below the competition. We're going to put this above.
I haven't seen any. I don't know if there's any reviews out there. Like I said, they just
announced it, right?
Announced it, but I didn't know if there was any launch reviews. We obviously didn't do one, and I don't have it here either yet, so it hasn't come in. But, if they're making a statement and they're like, yeah, this beats everything.
Yeah, if it beats everything, then maybe the price is valid, right?
Yeah.
It's justified.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm pumped for it because I've been waiting for this. Like, I'm the air cooler guy. Like, I'm kind of excited for this cooler because it has been the best cooler or one of the best coolers for years. And we've tested so many other coolers and this has always beat it. And the fact that all these other coolers come out with maybe this new tech or this new fin design and everything like that, and the good old NHD 15 was always at the top, no matter what, 10 years later. So to have this come out now and it be priced, you know, at least $20 above the competition, like I said, maybe they're making a statement, but I'm really excited to test it. So we will be getting this in, like I said, and I'll get that review out to you guys. So big ass CPU coolers, man. I'm a fan. So we'll see. I'm excited for that. So the last little piece of news for the week. So when new tech comes out, one of the biggest things that we've seen happen over the past, seems like a long time, is everybody buys it. There's none available and we have scalpers. We saw it obviously with graphics cards when the chip shortage happened, but it does happen a lot, especially when it comes to consoles. But Nintendo has said that the Switch 2 will be made widely available. It won't be scalped. I still think that you will. There could be some problems getting it initially.
And especially depending on like once those specs are finalized, like if it's such an improvement over the previous generation and the price isn't crazy, you could see like, you know, either people that have been holding off or they're just ready for that next version and you could see really high demand. I mean, everybody always says, oh, we're ready. We know what, you know, we've run the math, but sometimes the math just doesn't.
And there are hardcore scalpers that are like, okay, I'm going to Best Buy. I'm buying everyone in the store. Although recently with that, they have made, they have like, oh, you can only buy two we'll see. I know a lot of people are excited for it. It has been a while. So. That is the news for the week, guys. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a case that we saw at CES. I'm finally excited to do a build in it. This is the Thermaltake, the Tower 300. Of course, the big change is they added those two side panels that give it a more octagonal shape, I guess. Is that eight sides? I don't know. It gives it it does, because three and three and then two on the side. So that's eight. Yeah. And they sent over an AIO as well. I don't know if it's this one, I haven't, but they sent us over the AIO, they sent us over extra fans. So we're gonna have a build that's gonna look a lot like this. I don't have a screen. They didn't send the screen. Dang it. I would like to have the screen as well. I have the screen from the Series 300. I don't know if it will fit in there, but maybe I'll put it in there as well. But this case, we really liked it at CES. It's one of my favorite things I saw at CES. And it fits micro ATX, and MSI was nice enough to send us over a micro ATX motherboard. So we'll be full on micro ATX in there, graphics card, everything. And we have a couple other interesting pieces of hardware we're going to put in there. So really excited to have that build for you guys next week. So definitely stay tuned for that. Talking about cases, our question of the week, and I've got some questions on social media, is a lot of times, just like, I don't know if that case is, but there a lot of cases will come, here's our version. Fantex was one of the first to do it. Here's our version of the case with fully loaded, six fans or something. And here's a version of the case with no fans. Obviously, there's a price difference. And a lot of people are asking, like, if I want to get different fans down the line, should I get the case with the fans? Or, like, what's the difference? You know, and I think the biggest thing for me when it comes to buying cases is that, one, if you think you're going to buy fans later, get the one without it. And secondly, is that if you are buying a case with fans, a lot of times the fans that are included, now we have seen it a little bit different from bigger companies like Thermaltake and others, but a lot of the fans that come with these cases are not even sold by the company. They're just like a crappy fan. A lot of times they're not even PWM. So I think that, you know, if should you buy a case that has pre-installed fans? If you're somebody who's not going to buy any other fans, you just want it to, ready to go out of the box, you should buy the case with all the fans. Now, do your research and see if there's any limitations on that specifically. I don't know if you have anything
yeah,
else to kind of add to that.
I think another piece to think about is if you are already in a certain ecosystem, I'll use Corsair for example, right? So I've got a Corsair headset, I've got a Corsair keyboard, I've got Corsair memory, right? So I'm using IQ for my management of those. Do I want to just stick with the same platform and go with Corsair fans and manage it all from one place? Same thing with, you know, Thermaltake or whoever else, right? Keep that in mind as well, depending on how you want to control them. And then, yeah, I'm, like you said, a lot of times those fans that come with cases aren't the greatest. But then again, we do see some manufacturers that have their standard fans come with it. You know, Corsair has their IQ cases that come with better fans a lot of times that are controlled, you know, especially, and they're what their link connections now, right? They've got some cases that support that. And yeah, those are going to be better fans from the get-go. And, you know, that's something you can always upgrade as well. Use the standard ones to start off with. And then once you, you know, if you're settling into a platform or something, you know, whether it's Corsair, whoever, then upgrade in the future.
And I think too, you also have to realize too, is that if you do buy, it depends on the case manufacturer, but if you do buy a case that has, say, like I said, six fans or something crazy, three in the front, three in the top, maybe one in the back, maybe seven fans, a lot of times when it comes to the better manufacturers, all those fans will be pre-wired. The yep. RGB will be pre-wired, especially if it's like a Corsair case. The RGB is pre-wired into their IQ Link controller too, so you don't have to do much. So that's definitely something. And but you also have to remember too, is if you're buying fan down the line from a different manufacturer, it might not be compatible, especially when it comes to like Corsair. Corsair is a proprietary cable compared to other RGB fans. So it's yep. it's just something to consider.
And then airflow versus air pressure, right? Fans, right? Making sure that if you do upgrade or decide to buy your own fans from the start, like make sure you get the fan that's designed for the duty you're putting it in, right? You want to make sure you get if you're putting something through a radiator, you want to make sure you've got enough air pressure to make it through those fins. Whereas if it's just a case that needs airflow, get yourself some airflow fans. So
yeah, I think we pretty much have that covered. Anything other? I did want to say too, I got this really cool keyboard. It's like
very like crystal clear.
It's very clear. Like, oh wait, hold on, let me turn it this way. So I don't know.
Is that one in for review?
Yeah. So the back Key is boom. All clear.
All right.
Yeah, it's okay. Really cool. It's heavy too. It's not as heavy as the CyberPower one, but it's heavy and it feels good. The problem that I have with keyboards like this, and I reviewed another one, I forget the name of the company, is that see how the keycaps are see-through? Like when I look down, the lights just bother me. Like when you look at these, like they're just
see-through. From an angle, the other, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the only thing so far, but it's very comfortable. So we'll be playing games on this tonight, so that would be a lot of fun. Okay. Anything other tech related on your end?
No, I had been using that $20 Hex Gears keyboard that I bought a couple weeks ago that old man said was available. I'd been using that at work and I swapped it out back to my low profile Cherry. I just find typing on the Cherry low profiles a little easier.
Low profile for work is amazing. Like if you're doing work low profile, it's just
absolutely
just awesome.
So I brought that back home. I'll find a spot for it here. No, I'm just, you know, got another all-in-one that just showed up. So we'll be putting that through the ringer and
any exciting plans for tomorrow, 4th of July?
No, I was talking to my wife. I was like, I'm going to be busy tomorrow. And then I got to thinking, I was like, why? I don't have to do anything tomorrow. Like maybe go buy some fireworks and then shoot them off at night.
So fireworks are legal in, where are you? Oh yeah. Yeah. I know where you
are. Yeah. So it used to be that you could only buy and shoot things that go like 6 feet high or lower in city limits. So you'd have to go outside of the city to buy anything that shot higher, like mortars or some of the, you know, cakes and stuff. And you were supposed to only shoot them in areas out there. Well, obviously nobody everybody went outside of town, bought their stuff, and came back in and shot it, right? So yeah. It was either last year or this year they kind of said, okay, well, it's legal to shoot things above 6 feet. So we'll see what this year changes.
I remember when I live in California now, but when I lived in Pennsylvania for the longest time, like, fireworks were illegal, but I lived in Pittsburgh, and it's like, you can drive either way, like 30 minutes to West Virginia or 30 minutes to Ohio. And like, as soon as you cross the border, there was like a stand for fireworks.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. For fireworks. And you'd always go buy your fireworks illegally and just drive right back across. That's funny. It was like, always used to do that back in the day, but yeah, hopefully everybody, all you guys out there, you have a great 4th of July. Maybe, I know it's, you know, everybody's gonna have the day off and you're going to want to play video games. Maybe go outside, at least go see the fireworks. I'm going to a cookout tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited to get out of the house. I will be working during the day because I have a lot of reviews to get done, and we have a lot of content to pump out. Also, real quick, old man in the chat let us know that Hitman, Absolution, Call of Juarez, Bound in Blood, Star Wars Battlefront 2, and Forager are free through Prime Gaming. They just give you codes that are redeemable on GOG. Oh, that's awesome. Those are some good games, too.
Yeah.
And then he also said he ordered 3 RK Royal Kluge PBT keycap sets from Newegg. They were $2.99. That's awesome. PBT keycaps for $3. He always finds the deals. I feel like he's like the deal master. He always finds the good deals. PBT keycaps, if you
free shipping too. That's why.
Yeah.
Oh, the catch is they send you what random sets.
Oh, okay.
All right, maybe you luck out.
Yeah, you just get 3 sets. And
well, yeah, you buy 3 sets, exactly.
Yeah, so, yeah. Really cool to see that as well. So, like I said, he always has the good deals. But check out those on Prime Gaming. I haven't really checked out Prime Gaming at all much.
Yeah,
But y'all have to check that out and get those game codes for sure. So we are going to game tonight, and we'll have a special guest in the stream tonight. So.
Oh, we will?
Yeah. So there's 4 players. So we're getting a special guest in the stream. I talked to him earlier tonight, so he's going to come on and play with us.
Boy.
No, it's not. It's probably not who you think it is. Okay. So yeah, we'll be over on Twitch. So this stream's going to end, and head on over to Twitch. Ryan runs the gaming stream, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Thanks everybody for coming out. And of course, everybody who listens later, and we will see you next week.